Order. This meeting is being held in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Law, in that the requirements of the law have been met with the posting of the meeting notice on the municipal bulletin board, filed with the borough clerk and forwarded to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. At this time, I request everyone stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We now ask that the take a roll call.
Mayor Morris.
Here.
Council President Gomez. Councilman Petty.
Here.
Councilman Pranicelli.
Here.
Councilman Longo.
Here.
Councilwoman Brinchovic.
Here.
Councilman Lopez.
Here.
Okay, very good. Looking to approve the February 23rd, 2023 regular meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty.
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli.
Recused.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilwoman Rinkovich.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
All right. And also to approve the minutes of the February 14th, 2023 executive session. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty.
Yes.
Councilman Pranicelli.
Recused.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilwoman Brinkovic.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Very good. At this time, I'd like to invite anybody from the public to greetings for comments and invitations for discussion. Does anybody have anything they'd like to bring up? Step up to the microphone, state your name and address, please.
It's Wally Sedambrino, 131 West Maple. Three items I'd like to bring up. One is a future safety issue. On Bosler and West Maple, as you know, there's a pool there. There's always people dropping kids off and running back and forth. And once the apartments are set up, I know, that's going to be a mess on that corner with people trying to get in and out, because you figure there's 40 apartments, there's at least 40 vehicles coming in and out, in addition to what's already there with the pool. Just a suggestion that they put a four-way stop up on that corner. It's the only thing that would probably make it safer. Like I say, just a suggestion. Other thing is, I ran into some gentlemen that normally go out and clean sewers. And I asked them, because I've never seen them do it on where I am, which is right behind the high school. And they said the reason they can't is because the teachers are parking their vehicles over the sewers, so they have no access to clean. But one time in the town, which is going back quite a ways, they did have alternate side of the street parking. And the school protested, and they get away with it. What they should do is bring that back at least the last 2 days of the month, first 2 days of the month, so this way the town has access to clean the street, and also be able to clean those sewers. Because what happens is, if you have a heavy rain, those drains get very slow. And the last time when Superstorm Sandy hit, Ed Pagan, his basement got completely flooded because those sewers couldn't handle the water. It was just backing up too quick because they were draining too slowly. So that's the other issue is bringing
Excuse me, what street was that? What was that
West
again?
Maple.
West Maple.
Yeah, right behind the high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you drive past there during school hours, you'll see the. And the other thing is parking itself. A lot of the teachers park there, and because there's no restriction on how far they can park from the driveway, half the time they're actually partially blocking driveways. I've had it where I have to carefully maneuver, and what that does is it limits your vision, looking up and down the street trying to pull out, especially with all this school traffic. If you happen to pull out at 8:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning for any reason, when people going in or kids to school, you run into an issue trying to get out of your driveway because you really can't see, because they're parked right up to you. You can, unless you have a truck parking there, you cannot see. And some towns, they have a restriction of 5 feet from the edge of the driveway. I know that restriction doesn't apply here, but it should. It's a safety factor. People pulling out of their driveways, there should be a 5-foot restriction from the edge of the driveway to where they can park. This way, you run into less of an accident issue. You know, I'm just trying to be proactive rather than reactive. That's the only reason it came down.
Honestly, keep hearing this complaint in this area. It may just be as simple as making it permanent parking in this area for residents. And then the school has parking a block away at the field. Plus, they have parking on site also. Exactly. I'm not sure that they allow for everybody to park there. I've heard.
But at one time, they couldn't park in the schoolyard.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they have that.
So perhaps we do that. I can't imagine that there's that many cars, that many teachers in that building.
But that, like I say, that restriction of 5 foot should be applied to the entire town. Because anyone trying to back out or even pull out forward from your driveway without a clear line of vision to traffic, you're looking at an accident.
Well, it's a problem on East Maple too, where I am, when the church, the Presbyterian church.
Oh, yeah.
I cringe my back out, but I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of driveways on that street, and if we start going 5 feet, and if we start doing no parking on the sewers, you're going to have not much parking on that street. But then on the other hand, you know,
and this is West.
People can walk.
I'm just trying to prevent accidents.
Yeah.
This is West Maple and Livingston as well. I mean, it's the.
Well, Livingston, that's you have the three-way stop that they put up there?
Yes.
Okay, that's actually been... I have to walk now because of the fact that part of cardiac rehab. And you go up on that, if you walk through that intersection, even with the stop signs there, I've had it where I was in the crosswalk, crossing the street, and a guy blew through the stop sign and gave me the flying fickle finger of faith. Mm. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You just blew a stop sign, and you're flipping me off. Come on.
And in a crosswalk, all sorts of violations. I will be honest, there are times, because I've lived here my whole life, that I'm driving along, and at the last second, I was like, oh, I jam on the brakes. I'm like, I forgot there's a stop sign.
There's a stop sign there, yeah.
But I don't think that's really the case. And I think, really, the parking would be less, it would be less dangerous backing out of these, with the limited vision, if the speed limits were adhered to. I see kids.
If you want to do that, where the school is, what you could do is put in speed bumps at the beginning and end of the school district on West Maple.
Yeah.
That would definitely slow them down.
That was the idea of the boat and stop sign, by the way. It's an invisible speed bump.
I know, but you got, as you say, the plows would have an issue.
Well, yeah, we destroyed so many plows over the years that we no longer have any.
The other thing you could do, which would not hurt the plows, is you could do what they do with the toll plazas, is you could actually put grooves in the street.
All right.
Because what that would do is it give you the vibration, like when if you pull over on the side, if you go on a highway, you hit that vibration.
The rumble strips. We've actually did that on 2nd Street in front of at Lamont Annex.
Yeah.
We used the rumble strips on either side. And we actually use that. I'm surprised we haven't done it here.
The plows wouldn't even have to lift.
Right.
Because if you cut grooves in the road, what that does is going to cause that vibration, just like you see on the highway, you have it on the shoulder. So if somebody hits that with your tire, you know they're veering off the road.
And you're suggesting this on Livingston or
on West Maple by the schools, at the beginning and the end of the school area, so that this way people know, hey, wait a minute, I'm coming in the way where I should slow down.
West Maple definitely should have it, along with any of the real stretches, High Street, 2nd Street, Franklin, that
should
all have it. Something that allows it to slow down a little bit.
Just basically tap on the shoulder and say, slow down.
Just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
The problem with that is that it's a reminder. It's like, you're not going to go hit a speed bump at 45 miles an hour because you know you're
going to. No, you know you're going to ruin your front end.
If you're just going to sit there and listen to the little hum of the. Is it loud outside?
Yeah. You'll hear it.
It's loud out. I mean, I assumed, because I've never stood on the side of like the turnpike and been like,
no.
But if that's going to be a problem, I mean, I just wish because again, I mean, I've seen kids driving down. Both my daughters are recent graduates. I think back all the stupid stuff the high school kids do. They're hanging out the car and they're passing people on Maple.
Yeah,
I witnessed it, and I'm like, okay. You wouldn't have a problem backing out, because if you were moving slowly and the other car was going an actual 25, even 27, they're all going to see each other before anything happens.
Well, you know what adds to that, too, is if you have traffic on 28 that's backed up,
they know
it's a thoroughfare.
Yeah.
So. I know in New York they're doing now, in Manhattan, they're doing the camera system where if you're going over 25, you get a ticket.
Well, they're not only doing that, they actually put microphones up on the cameras for noise avoidance as well. Of course, had extremely loud mufflers, or they're playing the radios too loud.
I think actually
they give them a summons.
I think New York actually got rid of the cameras because I think somebody challenged it, and the court said that you require an officer to be present at the time to witness.
Is that the red light cameras? Or the
Yeah, for the red light cameras. So I ended up so New Jersey no longer uses them.
Well, I think, and I can tell this, unfortunately, from experience, that down in D.C. area, or the surrounding areas, they will take a picture of you speeding, and they send you a fine. But there's no points. It's not an actual ticket. It doesn't go to the DMV, but it's a fine, and you're now on record. So I don't know if that's something that...
I mean,
I see it down there. I mean, I've been there. I've seen it years and years. I think properly driving the proper speed limit would eliminate
most of the...
You
have
the
signs up there and know your speed while driving by. Do that very often.
Yeah, there's one on the way down to from on the way down to the road.
You guys keep on doing it. Remind people.
I know.
No, it's like I know when I was young, I would see how high.
It's a high score. Yeah, that's a scary.
That's really
I know what my number is coming down the road.
I tried to.
Anyway, like I said, I just wanted to come down and bring this up to your attention.
No, we appreciate it.
If there's anything that you can do about it, fine. You can't do it. Well, at least you know about it.
What we are doing. So we are aware of parking problems throughout the whole borough. We're actually getting a new system that's being implemented right now. It's being installed throughout the borough, and that will be enforced via a radar system that we have, and all we have to do is put in which locations have permits, all that kind of stuff. So there is the initial technology that's going in to help us do that. We may need to identify additional areas around the schools and stuff like that for permit parking and stuff. Any solution that we come up with satisfies one person, makes somebody else angry. There's no happy medium so far.
Believe me, I understand that. I was involved with the town when they first issued the thing for when you needed to put stickers on your car. Okay, Anthony, you know that because I was involved with Fosnello with the incinerators and about getting people to do recycling.
Quick question. So with the storm sewers, right, mm-hmm. that I need to be clean, do you think that there's a lot of litter in there?
I mean, leaves.
Leaves.
What
okay,
happens
so
is the leaves get like... impacted in there. And, I mean, I'll go up and clear the top. I run my lawnmower down the edge to turn it into dust.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking inside.
Yeah, but what happens when it gets down inside the grates down below? I'm not going to pull the top of the thing off and try and get down there to clear it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No. Well, what area? Which area is that? You have that already? You have it noted?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Bill will make an effort to get down there.
They can't even the street cleaner can't even clean the street.
Okay.
Because of the fact the cars are parked.
Yeah, that's going to change. You're going to redo the entire schedule.
Yeah.
But it would require we can put a barricade out the day before and you know come out and follow.
Well, like I said, the other thing is you could do is just make it that one day a month or 2 days a month because you have to switch from one side to the other. You say okay, the last Monday and Tuesday of the month,
sure.
Just alter the side of the street parking there. So this way, not everybody doesn't get their knickers in a twist about oh, they have to switch every other day.
Yeah.
It's just 2 days out of the month. This way, they have access to get to those and actually clean the streets and actually have access to the sewers.
Yeah. Just so you know, we're, as Dale mentioned briefly, we're working on a schedule that we can put up permanent, right, metal signs that have the schedule for street sweeping so that folks, if they so choose to park there, the police can enforce and ticket them. Not that we want to ticket the public, but that's really the only way we can enforce it. Right now we're doing kind of a makeshift, you know, paper signs. Which
but that would actually extend the amount of time we need to clean the sewers.
Sure. No, I experienced that in the high-density area downtown all the time, that the sweeper can't get through, you know, and as much as I welcome people into my yard to park, no, it's a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Very good. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you for coming.
Any other comments? Okay, moving on, looking for the engineer's report from Dale Luden, director.
Very good, thank you, Mayor.
Dale, move the mic over to you.
Oh, okay.
So that you can...
all they need is a microphone.
I can hear you, but fine. It's all good. So, starting off with the with Billy Legion Park, my guys have started removing the surface debris from the embankment along Greenbrook. Today we've taken over 20 truckloads of material out of there. They're probably only about 25% complete. We're able to get some of the large pipes, some of the concrete. Some of the concrete, as I said, I thought all of it might have been from the Army Corps project. Some of it's been there for God knows how long. You've got square rebar, which you stopped using almost 100 years ago. You've got trees that are growing around, pieces of rebar. So a lot of that stuff's been there for eons. But anyway, we're doing what we can to accommodate the DEP and get that squared away. It's an ongoing process. It's not quick by any means, but we're getting there. So like I said, about 20 truckloads have been taken out already. I've let the DEP know we've started. I've sent them photos of some of the progress. So hopefully they will be happy as we move along. CARES Act application for CDBG, the revised subgrant agreement, has been approved by the county. That project is moving forward. The design is underway. That's for the HVAC upgrades at the library. I had a good meeting with T&M last week about it. So that's there were some revisions and some additional upgrades that we have room for under the grant. So I should be hearing back from them this week on a new cost estimate and then finalizing the scope of work. Staying with the CDBG element, 2023 applications are now being accepted. It's time for us to pick a project out. Instead of we don't have sewers anymore, sewers are out of the question. So we can do, we can stay on the road work. Keep in mind that a lot of the qualifying areas are downtown. There's nothing uptown that qualifies. And it's all based on the census, tracts and blocks, income, so on and so forth, because it does come through HUD. Two options I was thinking of was to Wheatland Avenue from T to Hardy, or Hardy Avenue from town to Wheatland. Both road sections are in really bad shape and could use a reconstruct on both. I'd like to ask for your thoughts tonight on one of those two, unless you have something else in mind, but I do have to get the grant done by the third week of March.
I would make a recommendation, Wheatland from T to Hardy. It's been halfway done, and you know, it was like
right, unfortunately, a little bit years ago, and yeah, it needs up.
And it wasn't reconstructed and all that stuff, so I would recommend that. It's a longer stretch than Hardy from Talmadge to Wheatland. I don't know how everybody else feels. I know it's right next to my house, so I don't know if to take it because I don't need to, but I know.
I was thinking Hardy because it's just so atrocious.
If you look at both, I mean, they've got both pretty close. I was thinking Wheatland just because it's a longer stretch to get back some more out. And it's easier to do a short block like Hardy, like with local funding, and not have to worry about grant money to accompany the local funding. You know what I mean?
Smart.
So, right, we can do whatever. I mean, those are two options that I saw that I know would qualify that could definitely use the TLC.
What are the costs on those projects?
Give me a second.
So I'm only concerned. My biggest concern is the swimming pool. Like that, we're comfortable. We have enough grant for other grant programs.
Right. Well, this
would handle it. Or CDBG
would have covered.
Isn't there two sections to that? Two things that you, when you go to the community block grants, there's and the other one that we call.
And the service and there's a public service and a public
program
infrastructure.
Would the pool cover for the infrastructure one?
Right, community development only gives 100 to 150. Let me just see something here.
just another $3.5 million a day.
So, community.
So we live. We live down there. Was going to be in that 300 to 500 range, and already part of me got 2,250 in that range. So probably we would probably double. Or Harley, yeah, we should be double at Harley's average. It's double the stretch.
So, okay.
So the grant would be the same amount, though?
Grant would be the same amount. So you spend more local money on Wheatland than you would if you dedicated it to a Harley. You know what I mean? I mean, either way, you're still going to get that 100, 150, most likely.
So Harley, you could almost pay for a total.
Close.
Yeah,
close. So that would be a total fix, and then
yeah, 3/4 instead of less than that.
But right. that only gets you to Wheatland, so you still have from Wheatland to second too.
Wheatland, yeah.
Which is fine by me.
Listen,
make a decision. Honestly, I don't personally have the less we spend right now, the better.
I think it makes sense. I'd like to do more. But from a, that would be the first choice.
Yeah.
If it was a variable, we could get, no matter what happens, we get 3/4 of it.
Yeah.
If we're capped at 150 and we think we can get 150,
yeah.
I'd rather only spend an extra 50 to 100.
Agreed.
And hope that the next block of grants, and if it comes down to it, and we have to spend 150 to 350, then we'll do. But if you're saying they're approximately similar.
Yeah, you'll get the same amount out of community development. They're pretty, yeah. All right.
So what are we doing?
Do you want to do Harding then?
Let's go. I vote Harding.
All right.
Is that something we...
It's fine by me.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
I think so Harding it is.
Harding it is.
Let's move on.
What else got?
Just to follow up on this 2021 local aid application, that's the one we requested the extension for. That is actually moving through the process. It's been approved all the way through to the local aid director's office. It's on her desk now, and then we should be able to move forward with that. I do believe that the approval will be imminent on that. Let's see here. Moving forward to the train stations. So demolition work's continuing. They have started construction. They started with some of the interior work. The electric work from the station itself out towards East Main Street. Was for the new service, so they're moving along at a pretty good clip. They seem to be on top of things, and they're not affected much by the supply line, except for windows. It seems they're going to be a long lead, but other than that, they seem to be in good shape. The 2021 program, I completed all the final closeout paperwork. We received all the remaining funding from Somerset County. So all grant money, which was about $230,000 between the county and the water company, that's all been received by the borough. And then the contractor has submitted the maintenance bond for review, so I'll go through that. And then everything looks good, we can release the maintenance bond back, and that project will be closed out. The 22 program, that is West Second from Church to Mountain. Main lane from High Street to about 175 feet south, and then Park Place from Evergreen to High. Survey and design are complete. Team then submitted the plans to DOT for review. Received comments back, so they are currently addressing those comments for resubmission. So the time frame we gave DOT for the extension, we are well in lockstep with that.
And Redwood's project doesn't have to have any road opening on second, right?
Nope.
Okay, good. They go out to Maine, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Redwood, wait a minute.
On the corner of Hamilton and second.
Yeah, but they're on the London side, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. So a little bit.
Yeah. I just want to make sure.
No. That's good. It scared me for sure.
Reopening the road that we're finishing.
No, please. And then the pool project. We received bids on the 7th. We did receive 3 bids. They ranged from $2.85 million to $5.3 million, which all 3 of them greatly exceeded the engineer's estimate. Currently, the consultant, Brandstetter Carroll, is performing a value engineering review of the bids. see if any savings could be had, and then, you know.
You said 3.8? I thought it was
2.85 was low. And then the high was like 5.3.
Okay. The low on the traffic? Then?
Yes.
Yeah, and 4.8. So we're only left. Yeah, it's on our agenda to reject.
Yeah.
But he's, Brandon Carroll is going through the review of the bids, doing a value engineer and see if there's any savings that can be had to lower the cost.
Can you get him a new calculator? Works.
Yeah, we got to get one that does have zeros.
Yeah.
The 22. New Jersey American Water Projects, that was the bunch of roads they did last year. If you remember, I requested some funding in lieu of paving of Ross Lane and Farm Lane to add infrastructure instead of just overlaying that and pushing, you know, kicking the can down the road on the drainage issues we're having. That was to the amount of $117,800. I did hear from the water company the checks have been cut. The borough should have the funding this week. Millbrook Road.
Hold on. With the water company, are we following up with the checklist of items that they were scheduled to do in the sale of the water system, of the sewer system?
I have not. I can certainly do that.
Let's just get a schedule because they are basically scheduled for almost $11 million worth of improvements.
Okay.
$7 or $11 million. So. Just to ensure that those things are starting, that they're on their budget or their schedule. I'm sure they are because the company that owns the water company is a construction company, and that's how they make money. So I'm sure they're not leaving it, but I'd like to see the pump station, you know, replaced, all the stuff that we really
need. Absolutely. They did clean up around the pump station, but that's a far cry from replacing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... going back to Middlebrook Road, Bridgewater had reported to me that they held meetings with the residents on the Bamberg side, where the drainage affects their properties. Two out of three were good meetings. One was not. One is apparently a line that runs from Middlebrook all the way down to 22. No easements that we're aware of. The property owners were not pleased to be told that. So they're going to do some more work, and it's going to probably wind up with another meeting with Bridgewater, myself, property owner, and see what, if anything, can be done to maybe relocate and outfall, eliminate that line, whatever the case may be. Or get easements. I mean, it's been there forever. It's in areas where they apparently can't build anything or do anything with. It's a wooded area. So, Bridgewater's contract has also agreed to install curbing on the borough side of Middlebrook Road from Washington Road to the Western Municipal Boundary. I had questioned that because I thought it would be a cheaper price for the borough instead of having the borough have a contractor just go up there and do that. So they're amicable with that at their contract price, which is about $35 a foot, which is in step with what we've been seeing for curb costs. It's a contractor, BlackRock, which has done recent work in town here, so I'm familiar with them. The only thing they ask is they want curb grades from the borough side, so they want to be liable, which I understand. If council is okay with this approach, I'll talk to T&M about getting the costs to provide us some grades along that stretch, and then we'll submit it back to Bridgewater. So we need we need council approval.
So our cost is just for the engineer to provide?
Just to get a cost from T&M, and then we would give them an agreement, a resolution to go ahead and do it. But if the borough is not interested in having Bridgewater do that, then there's no sense of me doing the legwork of soliciting T&M to do it.
What would be the advantage of having the curbs?
Well, it keeps the road water in the street and not on the properties. We did that from Washington going east to Mountain, and that actually really helped those properties over on that side. So it would be the same thing on this side because all of our properties are downhill from the road.
Do we have an estimate of what the cost for T&M would be on that?
I can't imagine it's going to be much, just curb rates. I would say $5,000.
And then,
do you need permission from us?
So we're getting, we would get curb grades and then Bridgewater's paying for the curbs.
Yes.
But then we would have to pay for them ultimately. They would, it would be in their contract or we would reimburse them. There had to be an agreement in place between us and
them. Okay, so it's not just soft costs.
Right, not just soft costs, right. They agreed to do it, but, you know, we'll pay for the curbs, but they'll do it under their contract. Same thing with the paving. When they offered to pave the entire roadway instead of just paving to the middle. But again, we would pay our portion of that road through the agreement.
What's it costing us right now?
What's that?
What's it costing us?
For the paving and everything?
For the curb, you said $35.
$35 a foot. So you're probably talking, I would say probably about $20,000 for curbs.
And we do it?
No, they do it. They do it. Their contract. We just pay them back.
We just pay
it. Right. And if we do it under our contract.
He said it was similar.
Similar.
Yeah, it would be similar. Okay, so. We're here, you know, I'm seeing the same cost of the last couple of road programs for curbs.
Okay. Can we take it out of what the others from school? So, no problem. Check some more.
Also, I don't travel there, so this may be a dumb question. Is the street wide enough? I know some of those mountain roads are so narrow that if you're going to have to go by, you're going to have tires clipped on curving.
Right. Bless you. I'm trying to talk here.
You limited to one blessing. That's it. You get one.
The part of the project is to widen the road out.
Okay.
But they have a plan in place already. So what I would do is I'd give T them the survey and the plan of what the road widening would be, and then they would provide the curbs along there. That's proposed road end.
All right. I don't know why I'm asking engineering questions. That's not my wheelhouse, but it was a thought.
No, I hear you.
Sounds like a pretty good question, right?
Okay.
Just explain it again. The water runs to the curb, and then...
So, basically, we get to the curb line, instead of going, you know, because you've got a crosswalk on the road, right? And then you've got a longitudinal slope, you know, downhill, you know, down the road. So instead of the water coming across and going into the property, it would hit the curb and travel with the grade of the road and stay inside the roadway until it gets to the next drainage structure.
Then it'll be able to handle all the drainage. And that's all created because of their work?
It's ongoing, though. It's been like this for years. They're just trying to improve it, which I do believe ultimately they are improving the situation up there. I just want to make sure that the improvements you're doing on their side are not going to be an adverse effect on our side.
Okay.
Well, you already said they
should. We're running down. Right.
Everything flows down.
Well, you already said that a lot of the drainage is running into our sector. You know, in the last several meetings, you referenced that. It's already running into our
right
system. The system. Thank you. So. Sounds like the curbs might facilitate that. It's still going to be running into our system.
Right. It's going to help get more into the system and not coming down everybody's front yard towards their houses.
Okay. Sounds like a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's money.
Stupid question, right? What kind of curbs are they? Are they cement curbs? Or are they the mechanical
It would be concrete, or? Just because the other side is concrete. So even though we want to do granite blocks.
We do both.
Right. You wouldn't want granite block on one side of concrete and the other brand new road. So you just kind of keep it.
Well, ultimately, they're doing it. We'll let them do it.
Yeah.
If the price is in the range, then...
What?
Yeah.
If it's pretty
hard. All right.
All right, so I can get a price from T&M and go from there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense to me.
Let's see here. Besides that, like I said, ultimately there's an agreement being drafted up that'll take care of liability. It's something that Dina and her group have to look at, and then go through cost sharing and everything for the construction.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's my report for tonight.
Question, the Mountain Avenue project.
Yes.
I got a message from somebody who lives on Mountain Avenue who mm-hmm. claims that they suddenly went to leave their house and there's a trench in front of the house. They can't leave the house. They had contractors at their house. What's the notification process for that? I mean, is that there or is it just one of those, hey, on any given day between the days of January and March, you might not get out of your house?
So normally, like the way we would do it, the borough side, except for police, we're not really involved in it because it's a county road between the water company and the county on the road work. But the way we would do it is we do the general message, like you said, you know, on or about the road's going to start X day, and you know, we have delays until this day. But when we affect specific driveways, we try to give people two days' notice, at least even a day in advance, say, listen, tomorrow we're going to be in front of your driveway, you're not going to be able to use it for a while. Even that morning, my contractors will go again and knock on the door and say, hey, listen, last year.
Yeah, we're about to.
Yeah, last year.
Because literally, she said she was frustrated. She says, I had to call out of work, and I had contractors stuck at my house who now couldn't leave.
I'll call on, because we had an issue on the south side on Mountain also. On the property. I'll call my contact, American Water, and tell them to get their contract.
Well, listen, if there's somebody else I can say, hey, not our fault. Here's who you want to talk to.
It's not, but we can certainly do something about it.
Because you had already, I remember you had said previously.
The foreman of the job, we're in constant communication every day. I worked the job myself a few days. People pull up. The job's been progressing down the blocks, and it's in front of your neighbors tomorrow. And yes, workers did pull up, and they all got in. They had to go around the block, but they all got in. So, I understand. I could be another scenario another day, but yeah. I know on the days
I think there's an old amount of water, they had to just go around the block, right?
It had to have been right in front of the driveway.
And that's going to happen. I mean, tomorrow, if it's in front of your neighbors, they're coming methodically down the block. So. And the signs, we had them put out the signs.
Saying, well, I remember you said they didn't, and you were like, you didn't meet your deadline, and then they were out the next day. So as soon as we're finding out, I mean, and that's what I want to tell her. Like, listen, there's a procedure in place. Here's, keep an eye out. But
if anybody calls, if they see in front of the neighbor's house and it's coming their way, I'll be there in a day or two.
Yeah.
So,
like I said, I mean, I just want to reply back and say, here's what the deal is.
Two quick questions for Dale. So, the timing of Hardy?
So, what would happen is I'd submit the grant in March. There would be a review process in April, most likely a hearing with the Community Development Committee in May. The county would then make a recommendation to the commissioners for funding for the various projects that were submitted. Uh-huh. Commissioners approve it. It goes to HUD. Subgrant agreement gets drawn up in the fall, and then once that agreement's in place, then you can start. So you couldn't, theoretically, you couldn't start design until probably winter.
Winter, okay. And the residents will be notified prior to any construction on that street?
Oh, always.
Yeah, okay. 2024. Yeah, 2024. Wow. Okay, perfect. And they'll be notified. Okay, and then could you just make that report available to the council? Because that was pretty lengthy. Do you have it written up or no?
It's here.
Or is it all handwritten?
It's 10 cents a sheet.
Okay.
But yeah,
I know I'd like a copy. If the whole council would like one, that's fine too.
Honestly, we have a shared drive, right, that you can drop that in?
Yeah, I think so.
We have shared drives, so I think we should probably just create a shared drive for all the reports.
So we connect.
That's a good
idea. Not a bad idea.
That'd be great.
Sorry, going forward.
It's awesome. Yeah. All right, moving on to committee reports.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
The start field
on
the
T, when they're going to start.
Any? Within the next couple of hours. In the 6 days,
we are looking at a March 29th date for their
next month. We can take about 6 days to build it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Final question. Can we get something on the website like the 2023 road program like we had last year?
Yeah, we talked about that. We can tighten things up. Yeah.
Okay. I think. And then for the pool project, are we going to speak a little bit more in depth when it comes up later?
Yeah. Okay.
We should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Anybody else have any for Dale? No problem. So then moving on to committee reports, we're going to start with Chair of Finance, Councilor DeMongo, and other liaison committees.
Okay.
The Finance Committee met on February 24th, and we discussed the introduction of the 2023 budget. The budget included the assumption of EMS services into our borough budget, and as it stands right now, the proposed tax rate is 0.816. Last year, the tax rate was 0.845. Local taxes are proposed in the budget. $9,516,693.81. The committee is working on the final touches to the budget and will present it to the full governing body for review and introduction in March of 2023. The tax office is working on updating the assessment records for 2023. Our overall property values have increased 8.85%. In addition, the tax office is working on the senior tax statements and senior deductions. And that's what I have for the Finance Committee. From Recreation, I think we're going to cover the pool. 2 weeks ago, Hector and I met with the school superintendent, the school board president, and the school business administrator. They were requesting our assistance in funding phase two of the Montfield renovation project. Phase one was the new turf and new lights that are completed up there. We forwarded that request, the monetary request, to our grant writer to see what they could do with getting a grant to help pay for that, since our recreation soccer teams use those fields pretty substantially throughout the spring and the fall seasons. We also presented them with a quote for the fixing of Billion Field, which Dale obtained from a company, and we requested some funding from the school to help complete that project, as that field is barely playable, but we really haven't heard anything, a response from the school yet on how they want to move forward. We have a resolution tonight to appoint Ms. Cruz to fulfill our last vacancy and the alternate position on the Recreation Commission. The registration for the spring sports is now underway, and I have a shout out to our Recreation girls' sixth grade travel team. They finished their season undefeated in league play and were division champs. They won their first playoff game by defeating New Providence, and this Friday night they'll take on Westfield in the second round of the playoffs. So good luck to our girls' sixth grade recreation travel team. And the SID, I have nothing new at this time to report on the SID. And that's it.
What was the money request from the school for the phase two? Is there a dollar amount or anything? And you said phase one was turf and light?
Yes.
What's phase two?
Phase two is, I'm sorry, the fence and the running track.
Okay.
We got their estimate of 400.
And that's obviously a portion of the...
The entire track and fence.
Well, that's the total cost. They're looking to share that cost, or they're looking for us to, for the borough to?
They're looking for us to pick up the whole
time. Well, since they completed the whole turf on their own, they're now looking for us to pick up the other phase.
Okay. And that's pending grant. Grant writers. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Anybody has questions?
I just have a question for the SID. So, I don't know, I heard that the managing director of the SID was...
Let me do a report.
Oh, you're going to do that?
Hasn't been a meeting, so you wouldn't know, but the board voted to go a different direction with the downtown manager, so we let go of current downtown manager. We put out RFPs for new, and we've got like four responses so far, and we started the interview process. The current board members are managing the maintenance guys who are doing the cleanup. So hopefully by next year's report, you'll have something more substantial to report. We'll have a new downtown manager.
Okay. So that position's being replaced?
That position is being replaced.
The downtown manager position is being replaced. Okay.
Yes.
So my second question then is about cleaning out the beds downtown. So in preparation for the Battle of Bound Brook, you have the dividers on East Main Street, Bulmer Street, the roundabout. It was my understanding that those beds, right, the flowers and all, are handled by Sid. The hardscape is handled by the county, and I can get to in my report when I get
okay,
my report.
Okay, I'll make sure that the guys do the beds for you.
So if they clean them out, mulch them, and then maybe...
I don't know that they're going to be able to do all that.
We
never have our internal... That's usually a contractor that we hire to do that.
I don't know how it gets done. I just was told that
done
it was...
All, the whole town's done all at once, but certainly we can have them clean them up.
Sure.
Clean them up,
yeah.
And then, all right, maybe we talk offline about them for Battle of Bound Brook, some of the to-do things, and maybe embellish with some pansies or something, you know, to make the town look alive for that weekend. Okay.
Yeah, we have a board member that's very active with Battle of Bound Brook. So.
Yeah, I know, Mary.
Absolutely.
I'll, okay.
Talk to her about that.
All right.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Don't
anything else? Okay, on to Chair of Public Works, Buildings, Grounds, and Utilities, and other liaison committees, Councilwoman Brinkovich.
Okay, so DPW, we're continuing to clean the old stone bridge area, the gateway, for in preparation for Battle of Bound Brook, but just long overdue, right, that area needed to be cleaned and addressed, and I'll follow up with Dale on that matter. The hardscape pavers, I just talked about a little bit now. The county is responsible for fixing, right, the dividers and the roundabout. The roundabout has been put back together. It looks much better, right? I know that keeps getting hit, so that has been put back together. The flower beds, and that was what I had to coordinate with you. We can talk more offline on how to make it look the best it can for the battle. And we're looking at the whole route from really southbound Brook to the graveyard, right? And, well, there's other areas too, right? You do the
Hamilton.
The Hamilton, and yeah, so we could just look at really the whole area that's on route for that day. And Hamilton Street, right? You have you feed the soldiers and all, right? Okay. So overall cleaning. I had a question too about flags for the Battle of Bound Brook. Maybe I picked this up under new business at the end of the meeting. Shade Tree, we met last week with Mary Patton and Nancy, and just Mary Patton's finalizing her Shade Tree report and for 2022, and Dale can embellish where I leave off here, but it's for a grant, right, that they're going to receive, right, for Shade Tree. And I guess they do this every year. You're more familiar with
it. Yeah, it's a match. The $75 grant, the borough has to match it. So what we can do is through volunteer hours. So that's something that we'll work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there there have been, some trees that are cut down in the town. And, you know, the process going forward is that the public will definitely be notified. And that's... that's going to be taking place. In terms of the library, I do have a library report. I can put that on the shared drive. That's a good idea for everyone to see. Dale has it. There's some quick, I don't know about how quick, but there's some short-term projects that can be addressed by DPW. I know we have a larger grant that's going to fund some of the hard... the surround and the roof and some more detailed and elaborate repairs that the library needs. But, you know, certainly hanging a fire extinguisher, some light covers on the lights. There's an area in the window wells that there's a void or an opening where children can fall down, and there's a safety issue. So some of these things are safety issues that TNM had on a report, and that's why, you know, we're looking to address it. Whether or not it's DPW that handles that construction portion is still yet to be determined, maybe, and needs to be discussed further with Hector and DPW. And then there's just, you know, overall maintenance outside with mulching and some sidewalk repairs, some trees that are missing. And, I think that's really all I have for reports, you know, just trying to chip away. I do I do have a code report that, because I'm part of the code committee as well, and Vinny will obviously leads the code, but I will share that with everyone too as well.
Okay. Just a quick question. There's, I think, several trees, I don't know how many, downtown that have either died or been damaged or removed on Main Street. Do we know any status on replacing any of those?
I don't have a status. I had offered to provide pictures of missing trees, one in front of D'Agostino's, right?
One across the street.
One across the street, one on Hamilton, one at the...
across from the...
By the library. Ballmer has, like, maybe 10 spaces, right? There's some that have grates, but then there's some... cutouts with gravel, and I was wondering if that's probably meant for a tree as well by the new construction.
Some of it, so they, yeah, they're not completing it, but they are planting stuff over there constantly. So I guess code should probably just in their checklist, they'll make sure that they plant anything they're supposed to, because any new construction is supposed to have trees, as you know.
Right.
I'm not sure if along Ballmer we require them, hopefully.
I counted at least 10 spaces
okay.
where there's like openings for trees, whether or not it has a grate where a tree was and is no longer there, or like the gravel opening. So there's at least 10 spots. So I had offered to send pictures to the shade tree. They told me they didn't need pictures, that they had pictures. So I have to touch base with them again. I mean, the meeting we had last week was about a different matter, so I wasn't able to pick up on that. But
over the years, I was on that committee for a long time.
Yes. Oh, and that's another thing. The website still says that you are.
So does my report.
Oh, so does the report?
That's okay. We increased the budget quite a bit so that they can buy additional treatment. It was originally like $13,000. That they had a budget, that between that and blood. So, I'm a big proponent of putting trees everywhere, as many as possible. So,
well,
wherever we can, whatever strategy we need to, whether it be grants or figuring out money, whatever it is, it really changes the feel of the place.
Another discussion was the West End, right? Talmadge Avenue, Vossler, I mean, so needs some green, right? I mean, there's one square on the corner of Vossler and Talmadge that has just been a weed pile. It's 27 years I've lived here. I've looked at this and maybe had a pot of flowers there at one point. But, we definitely need trees. And I think, you know, hopefully
maybe,
we can.
Maybe we can get together and work on something. We came up with, and we presented it to the county a while back, was the Talmadge Avenue Greenway.
Yes.
Space because from Drake to North Avenue, maybe the next one over, there's not one tree in the whole area.
No, yeah.
It's a desert. So we had identified some spaces to create cutouts, like at the curves, the yellow, where it's yellowed out. To bring bump those out and add that.
I remember.
Ways, you know, in front of, well, the new development that has some trees that are coming, so that starts softening that area. I think the triangle at the corner of Columbus and Talmadge.
Yep.
I think we're looking to acquire that property and create like a soft end to that flag or something, you know, potentially. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And then keep moving it down. Just changing that area.
Where you're saying the point of Columbus, that's the building that's the
kind that little hut or whatever it is.
It used to be a gas station.
It used to be a gas station.
Yeah, they're not.
All right. Yeah, let's talk offline because you know, years ago when Fisher Price Shapiro presented a redevelopment plan, there was actually a park for where, it's where Monsanto is, or where, it used to be where the striping company was, right?
Oh.
They had proposed a park there, but that might be a nice area for some sort of pocket park, too. I don't know, talking that way.
Anywhere that we can clean that area up, put trees out, soften it, anywhere we can do that, all in favor of it, please.
I sometimes park there to pick up pizza, though.
What's that?
Yeah. I sometimes park there to pick up pizza.
So you'll park under a tree now.
That's a chitchat.
Keep it parked.
There's one other item as well. Dog poop in the downtown. So I don't know if people are, you know, I've seen maybe one dog poop sign, you know, ordinance sign in town. I don't know if we need more signage, or we need an education, or we just need to follow people with dogs, or there are people from the apartments. I know there's a lot of dogs.
Honestly, I find, and I'm down there all the time, I find on Hamilton and 2nd, the garbage can, by the way, helped immensely on the corner of 2nd and Hamilton, and the two on Hamilton have helped immensely. But there are people that still walk their dogs. It's not from the new apartments. It's from the existing stock that's there. And again, there's nowhere room for them to take their dogs. Doesn't stop them from having to pick that up, which they don't. So I think the only way to stop that is fining them. But then we gotta catch them. We gotta dedicate resources to that. And I'm not sure that that's at the top of the list, but it's definitely disgusting and it should be addressed one way or another. If we have to come up with a strategy, cameras. Most of the businesses have cameras, so there's a patch on the corner of Hamilton and right in the parking lot. There's a tree that came down that it has become basically somebody's litter box. The tree came down and it's full. So there's cameras there, so we should be able to pick up who it is from the area. And I'm sure if it's there, it's the same person that's, you know, in a lot of different places.
And just one other question. Could we get more black trash cans, like, in town?
The big bells?
We need them, not the $3,000 compressing, you know.
The big bells.
Not, yeah, just the black ones. I mean, West End could use, I think, like, a lot of the downtown. Agreed. Everywhere, even on Union. Sure. Go ahead.
One of the issues with those is that the folks who live in the apartments up there use that as a place to throw their household trash.
Throughout the town? What apartments? From where?
The secondary, the existing stock.
So what happens is, although we have our DPW team picking up now 6 days a week, we're picking that up 6 days, what happens is, even though they'll pick up on Saturday morning, because these folks are using it as a place to discard their household trash, by the time Sunday night comes, it is overflowing. That is why we found a way to try to get away from utilizing those. So you can utilize the big bellies, as the big bellies have a small opening and compactor. The trade-off is obviously the cost.
Right.
You know, it's 3 times, 4 times the cost of it.
But that's offset by overtime. If we cut that up, you know, because it takes typically 3, 4, 5 days to fill up the big bellies because it compresses and all that stuff. So if we have DBW show up there last thing in the day on Friday, by Monday we can pick up again without having anything overflowing. So while we have to transition from one to the other, and the one are very costly, right? So I think it's continue to move down the path. I don't disagree with you that we need more garbage cans. Yeah. Just be careful because we've had this issue for a long time. And, code enforcement shows up, gives them a ticket, they don't show up to court, nothing gets done.
We'll take a correction on it, but I think it's important for you to understand the other side.
No, I understand, and I understand. Yeah, I know that that's been an issue, and I know, you know, even out in, like, New Hope, Pennsylvania, right, they had a sign posted on the garbage can with the ordinance. Whether or not that's a deterrent, you know, may help, but, no, I get the issue. I mean, I'm sure a lot of towns experience this, but, Yeah, I mean, to prevent it from going in the street, you know, whatever we could do.
Part of the problem with the older ones,
yeah,
they were still in the inserts. So, and then they were throwing up, you know, they like the slats, decorative slats, so they were just throwing that up. So now that's all coming over the place, and then you got to try to pick that, and it's, it was an absolute nightmare. It was about a dozen of the inserts were stolen.
What we do have more big bellies on. For purchase this year, to make sure.
And just buying.
We bought it.
So we should continue to add them to, even if it's two or three per year. And, yeah, until we're completely full, replace the existing ones, and then move on to the ones in the park. Because, again, if we're charging about 4 hours on a Saturday for three guys to come in on overtime, after 1 year, they basically, you know, we basically pay for every single garbage can in the town four times over.
And maybe we should even be more aggressive in buying if that's the case.
It is. I mean, it's a cost saving.
If it's saving money, then why would you get the ones you need? Just get them. It makes sense.
I'm curious what, I remember when there were stickers, that would make sense that you would put your household trash in the public garbage can. There's no limitation on what we pick up other than the two cans or what I can use. Why is it still? Why are they still jamming household trash into a public?
There's two theories. One is that people would rather it's closer to people.
Yeah, rather than accumulating and then taking it out on the designated day, they're just.
That theory is we're not certain that these vandals have a place for these folks to.
Which again, that is a failure on us more than it is on anybody else. Because that's just part of the registration. I mean, as part of my commercial, and that's how we should handle them, right? Is as commercial properties. If for my property, I filled out my Board of Health application today, and it was who's your arms garbage for, who's your recycling, who's your, you know, grease trap, and something else. I think that was what it was. Oh, and pest control. Which I think should be done for everybody, right? Maybe not the grease trap, but those other three items, definitely. They're health hazards. They destroy the, you know, they either improve or deteriorate the current stock, and will. The new buildings are completely different, right? They have their own garbage area. They have their own, you know, maintenance. They have everything. But it's the old stock that we have to pay a little bit of attention to and bring them up to speed with everybody else.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, I think I did have a meeting enough.
No, that's it.
All right. Moving on to Chair of Public Safety, Police and Fire, and the Multiple Liaison Committees, Councilman Gomez.
All right, I'm going to try to make it quick. Police, I'm just going to put the one accreditation was happening or is happening. The auditors were in last Monday. We don't expect, I think everything went well. We had plenty of calls coming in, all positive. So we don't expect any issues. Obviously, the accreditation helps us with any lawsuits and other matters here that makes us a better borough. And for training and purposes, you know, we stand out. We have our new officer, Silva, is training. I believe I saw her out by herself. Is she already out by herself?
She's still in the training program.
Okay. Fantastic. So that's great. We have a new new officer out on the street. EMS is the one that's really taking a lot of our time right now. Obviously, we have the two new ambulances. They are out to get lettered. We have an ordinance tonight or a resolution to hire a new deputy coordinator, I think under a different title right now until we create his new title and salary ranges and all that, and we finish putting together the whole department. Dina's working on that portion of it. The new director will be coming on, I believe, on the 15th, and we'll start taking up those 9 bullet items that they are required, that we are required to complete in order to get certified and start servicing the community. The lettering of the truck being the last one. So that's getting done. That should take about 45 days to complete. The other ones are mostly paperwork. So we should be on schedule to probably be servicing Bound Brook, hopefully, best time frame, May 1st.
with that. With that comes the cost. Obviously, this year we're looking at about $270,000 is what we're estimating. We're being very conservative with what we're putting in our budget as a revenue from that. We have about $70,000, I think, or $72,000. I personally, and that takes the total 100 calls that we've been averaging per year and kind of evenly divides it over the hours, although that formula isn't completely proper. The majority of the calls, about 80% of the calls, come in between the 12-hour time frame that we're targeting. So I probably expect that revenue to be much higher, but we won't know what that number looks like until we're ready to go. And we'll be putting in place the billing company that will be handling that portion of it. Mike will also, as the director, will be starting to interview per diem employees and start getting basically our full schedule and an employee base for that. Those guys are per diem, so we'll have a stock of them taking shifts during that 12-hour shifts that we'll be offering. Fire department, nothing to report at this time. They are right now a well-oiled machine. They basically have no equipment. Their equipment's being replaced on an annual schedule that we've set up, and they're moving along. Nothing other than the budget that we're processing right now. All the numbers seem to be set on that one. Good to go on fire department. Other than that, that's the emergency management. Cultural arts, they've come up with a mural that they want to put up. Unfortunately, I think they've kind of gotten ahead of themselves. There's last time we did this, there was a bunch of legal requirements, indemnification from property owners, insurance, equipment, scaffolding, stuff like that, which I'm not sure that they were aware of. So we're looking for new locations for them to possibly do the mural. I've offered the tunnel to the train station, which will have a new waiting room by the end of this year. So I thought it would be a great idea for them to coordinate that with the new waiting room and have a new piece of art, and then year after year they can take portions of that tunnel.
But they don't like that.
They don't like that.
But that's what I was trying to get them to do.
they don't like that. I also offered them to do this mural on a very large canvas, 15 by 15, and put it in the new art gallery that we have on the end of Drake and Main. I don't know that they like that either, but they may not like doing nothing at the end of the year. So I'm trying to, these were all items we ran into a long time ago. I just jumped back into the Arts Council 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And they didn't seem to be aware of any of these, or they were aware of them.
Aware
I'm
of
not
the
sure. I'm not sure that they were what their plan was. So I'm working with them. I'm trying to see what we can do. I don't think they'll meet the deadline if they want to put it on that wall. That's months and months and months and months away. So last time it took me 7 or 8 months just to line up the settlement, and we never got it done, and eventually the artist pulled out. So that's where they're at with the Arts Commission right now. Planning Board, I think we met earlier in the month. We did not have a meeting, or we will not have a meeting this Thursday. That meeting was canceled. It's on the agenda. So I'll keep you abreast of that. Other than that, we should have a couple applications coming up pretty soon, in the next 60 days. Other than that, nothing else. Any questions on any of that? OEM coordinator, obviously we switched over. Gennaro is our new OEM coordinator. You'll see a resolution also to add Chief as a deputy coordinator, as well as the new employee who will be taking the lead on most of this, on most of the OEM stuff, which is going to be where we utilize him also during that first month.
Question. Why do we need two deputy coordinators?
What do you mean?
For OEM?
Typically we have more than one deputy coordinator. At any time we have two or three deputy coordinators. And it basically doesn't hurt to have more than one deputy coordinator at a time. It gives them access to the website, which allows them to fill and submit applications. I think the chief is dying to jump in on this. But go ahead.
The State Office of Emergency Management only grants access to the EMIT system, which is the platform for requesting resources, declaring a disaster, declaration, and so forth, to coordinators and deputy coordinators. So I threw my name into the mix because I have all of one 4-hour block of training already. So it just gives us more people if you have an extended duration of emergency access to that system.
Is that good? Any other questions?
Hearing none.
All right, so on to Chair of Personnel Administration and Ordinances and the Liaison Committees, Councilman Lopez.
Yes, I'm going to start with the Liaison Committees. I met with the Historic Preservation Committee under the meeting in February. They report that they have two properties that they are ready to submit for Boundbrook Landmark designation. They are ready to vote on one more during the next meeting, which is the first Thursday of the month. Also working on helping them finding out what's going to be happening with the old Catholic Church building, which is up for sale. So we're trying to see how we can help preserve, not turn it down or something, right?
You're going to buy it.
So I hope we can get the money to buy it. So if somebody has half a million, is what they're asking.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, hold on, I got it in my coat.
I knew we could get it here tonight, so, you know, that's why I'm bringing it up. Anyway, so we're working on that part. I also went to the meeting for the Board of Education, but, unfortunately, but that night they had the award ceremony for, the arts and sports. So I met with Dr. Freeman, and we exchanged, information, phone numbers and everything. So we'll attend the next Board of Education meeting. For the personnel, I'm personally working on some projects that I will communicate as they hopefully work out for the employees here in the building. And also, they're starting to analyze, maybe for the second part of the year, on a little reform or analysis on the personnel code as well. So that's what I have to report.
Anybody have any questions? Otherwise, on to Chair of Economic Development, Councilman Prince Kelly.
Okay. The Vibe is now got their occupancy permit, and they are taking renters, which is cool. The Revo is, by the way, for those who don't know, the Vibe is 17 and 19 West Main Street. I know you need addresses to really associate
the corner of Drake and Main.
Yeah. The Revo, which is the old Bamberg Hotel, is about 2 or 3 weeks away from getting their occupancy permit. And the next one in line would be the View, which is on Townage, and we're looking at May and June. The other projects are all on schedule and ready to go. The committee met a few times. They also met with Meridia. I'm going to have Abel, or because I can't talk about that, I'm going to have Abel or Donna talk about that when I'm done. That meeting was the committee also met with the County Economic Development Officer. She informed us that there is now a need for Class A office space, which is like the best of the best office space, which is something new. That was, early on when I was the Chair of Economic Development many moons ago, you couldn't give away office space. But now it seems like there's a need in downtown areas. So the committee will look for developers that want to do that. Also, the borough expects to receive its plan endorsement designation at the State Planning Commission meeting, which actually is tomorrow. The endorsement is a voluntary process established at the state level in New Jersey to promote consistency between our master plan and the goals and the objects of the state development and redevelopment plan. And Carlos prepared all the documentation and drawings for them to review. So that's something that we're looking to get. Do you want to talk about the Meridian?
Yeah, sure. It was actually just a technical meeting pre-planning board with engineers more than anything to discuss the upcoming change in requirements. I think it's called, I forget what the name of it. Anyway, flood elevation changes that the state is proposing to be, I think, 4 to 2 feet above floodplain. I think for the most part we're okay. There's certain sectors of the main street and that the mapping isn't completely fine. But, yeah, so there, what we should see applications for that at the planning board pretty soon, and we'll have final designs on all that. And if you want me to elaborate a little bit about the sure. office space, companies have, you know, everybody went remote for a little bit, and that, you know, employees want to be remote. Employers want them to be back in the office. In these surveys that they're constantly giving out their employees on how to trick them back to work, they're asking them what they would like to see. A lot of them want to see amenity-heavy employment offices. So what that means for most of us, and it's advantageous for us, is that they're looking for a downtown area, a place that has food, you know, entertainment afterwards, a work, play, and live model is really where it falls into. So we are looking to capitalize on some of this, even some of the current plans that are coming up now. We are pitching and, you know, seeing if they would consider, instead of housing or residential housing, to be office space. We'll see where that goes. Everybody's kind of rushing to it. So it'll be exciting. That adds the second portion of this. During the day when residents leave this area, it creates a void for businesses. So the idea is to bring other businesses in, office spaces that will get you know, food, drinks, and stuff that can utilize our downtown during the day and bring more customers to our downtown. So it's,
and it's something we never turn down. So
okay.
It's something we always look for, but we're pleased to hear that there are people that are looking for it.
Yeah. It just looks like now companies are looking to get out of the big office buildings like they've built into around in Bridgewater and get more close downtown and using to a downtown space and also using flex office space.
Yeah,
they don't need huge buildings because they don't have as many people coming in. So I think that change in business
model,
whatever you want to call it, is coming at the right time for us. Great way to put some people in the downtown area for lunches and things like that during the afternoon time period.
That's my report.
Question.
You may want to talk about the seniors. I was away in New Hampshire. Did you go to the last seniors meeting? I don't know if there's anything to report.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
No, we had a nice time.
Yeah.
And there was bingo.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, it was good.
So you had a question?
About the state planning certificate documents. Could we make that available on the shared drive for us, or?
Absolutely.
All right.
I think what happens is we had our self-assessment report on the website. I think when we switched over some things on the upgrade for our website, somehow that dropped because of us.
So it's a public. It's a public. Yes. Okay. Okay. So either website or website would be good.
It's a really fantastic document that kind of runs through the development of this blog context and history of the
project. Okay.
Also, you mentioned you met with the Meridia about some sort of state proposals involving upcoming changes with...
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that something that's just for new construction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if it's in... No. And yes. So anything...
And the reason I'm asking is this is for, like, when I think Meridia, my first thought is the building that's full of people.
Oh, yeah.
These are the Meridia, the upcoming projects.
Yeah, right. Anything that's coming, any new construction that's coming up in the future will have to meet the standards, whether it be, and you know, some of these standards are just elevate the building 1 foot on the first floor. You know, some of this isn't crazy, but it changes the scope of what they have to do as far as submissions. Now, a lot of these guys have seen the new standards and new laws, but none of it is cemented until they approve it. I think scheduled for May 15th or something, a session at the state. Even at then, I think it's been in front of the state assembly
more than once, and it's been pushed back. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this is our proposed standards.
Yeah. So this was already, this was something that Phil Murphy pushed forward, and then got pushed back because, you know, he's planning for 10 years from now when sea levels are going to be 3 feet higher, right? Or 2 feet higher is what the standard is, what they're looking at. So, but there's people in France, because, you know, there's ways to mitigate some of that, so they pushed it back. And not everywhere are the same. I think it's the Atlantic Islands standard or something, I think is what it's called. Not everywhere is the same. Bound book has protection, so, you know, for 150 years, so it's our floodplain, not the same as Manville's, right? No, it's completely different. So those are all things that need to be taken into consideration, even when they are. How are we affected? It's...
I don't think that the burnt-out Meridian 10, whatever you want to call it, is affected by any of the new...
No, because that's covered under a 150-year flood of map. On the map, it shows 150-year. The other one still shows 100, but that may just be a failure in the map and not the protection.
But I'm wondering, so you guys met with Meridia, or what about the other developers? Like, why did they request
this? Because they have applications that are coming up.
Okay.
Soon. They have applications that they have.
Applications.
They're submitting within probably the next 10 days.
Okay.
And they know, they need to know or want to know whether to use new standards, old standards, just some clarification.
Is that for the 580 and 430 East
yeah.
Main Street?
Yeah.
Those applications are coming in 10 days?
Well, something like that.
I think the Meridia 10 is coming first.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Before the other two. And the good thing about it is that alleviates some of the parking, because that Meridia 10 has a large parking garage as part of it. So all the parking, a lot of parking will be taken care of once that's built. So I think that might be the next one we'll be working
on. Yeah, that's the first
one. The other ones, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first one, and then the other one will probably be put in. That's probably the next one. No, I don't think there's anything else after that. Maybe there really wasn't. Other than that, I'm not sure that there's anything else
that's
at the moment.
Okay.
No.
All right. Finally, Chair of Zoning, Construction, and Code Enforcement, Councilman Betty.
My report for January. Revenue for the month was $20,701. Zoning construction, 8 zoning permits, and 25 construction permits were issued. 122 UCC building inspections were conducted. Also of note, the Vive at 1719 Main Street has received its TCO and has begun leasing units. Housing and property maintenance. 122 housing and property maintenance inspections were conducted, resulted in 43 notices of violations and 20 summons issued. For fire prevention, 29 re-rent inspections, 37 fire inspections, and 5 complete inspections were conducted. Health, 16 annual retail food inspections and 1 food complaint investigation was conducted. That's it for my report.
Anybody have any questions? Okay, moving on to the introduction of ordinances. There are a couple of ordinances under first reading. The first is Ordinance 2023-11, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 4, Article 2, Towers and Towers and Wreckers of the Revised General Ordinances of the Borough of Balmer. Do I have a motion?
Motion. I move the ordinance to pass on first reading, advertised according to the law, and public hearing be held on March 14, 2023.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brezhnevik?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Excellent. Given on the 15 pages of our document here. Among everybody. Oh, excellent. All right. Ordinance 2023-12. An ordinance amending the salary range for the position of assistant to administrator. Do I have a motion?
Motion. I move the ordinance be passed on first reading, advertised according to the law, and public hearing be held on March 14, 2023.
Second. Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes. Did we discuss?
No, we don't.
There's no introduction.
Oh.
On the second reading, we discussed.
Oh, okay.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bershevik?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to the ordinances on final reading. This is the second reading. For ordinance 2023-6, an ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cash bank for the 2023 calendar year. Do we have a motion to open to public comment?
Motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Is there any public comment on this ordinance? If no, do we have a motion to close public comment?
Motion. I move the ordinance be passed on second reading and advertised according to law.
Well, I think you've got to make two motions. One to close and then
second. Right.
And
I'll second. You'll second the close?
Okay. Yes. And okay. Then I'll move the ordinance be passed on second reading and advertised according to law again.
And I will second that.
Discussion.
Yeah. Just, I guess, question, new to the council, is this something that is typically
standard.
Done?
It's done
standard?
Every year. We're allowed to cap things for, I think, what, 3 years?
Okay.
You want to explain it?
Yeah. So, yeah. As you know, your capital allows us to go up 2.5%.
Yes. Can you bank it forever, or is there a limit, or 3 year limit to it, or is it forever?
Well, you're going to be using it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, 3 years.
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion, questions? We don't have the motion to close it. Okay. Take a vote. Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bershevik?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Excellent. Ordinance 2023-7. Bond ordinance providing for the acquisition of property in and by the borough of Bamberg in the county of Somerset, New Jersey, appropriating $1.3 million, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $1,110,000 bonds or notes of the borough to finance part of the cost thereof. Do I have a motion to open public comment?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any public comment involving this ordinance? Do I have a motion to close public comment?
Motion.
Second. Okay. Do I have a motion to pass?
Motion to move the ordinance to be passed on second reading and advertised according to law.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
What's this going for again?
Purchasing property for fun.
This is for purchasing property for parks.
Okay.
The Hamilton property. Right.
All right.
No. Okay. Mainly.
I just double check.
Yep. Any other questions or discussion? Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
No.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Rondo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bershevik?
No.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay, that passed 4-2. On to Ordinance 2023-8, bond ordinance providing for various capital improvements in and by the borough of Bamberg in the county of Somerset, New Jersey, appropriating $1,364,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $1,295,800 bonds or notes of the borough to finance part of the cost thereof. Do I have a motion to open public comment?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any public comment on this ordinance? Hearing none, do I have a motion to close public comment?
Motion.
Second.
Okay.
Motion. Motion. I move the ordinance be passed on second reading and advertise accordingly.
Second.
Discussion or questions?
Yeah, I guess for somebody that's going to vote no for this, and I'm not trying to be a wise guy, I just kind of want to know why. Just maybe you can change my mind. I know we've got complaints with parking.
No, I think Councilman Petty voted no against the introduction last time. And I think that's what he means, not you.
No, I mean,
are you attacking me?
No,
we're asking you questions for discussion.
Are you asking why you're voting no?
Yes, I'm asking you why you're voting no. You might change my mind.
Is there a reason?
I mean, we've got complaints of people saying they want parking and we're trying.
No, this is different.
No, no, that's the parking. We voted no for the parking.
Oh, okay. I guess it's over.
He also voted no for this one, but this is for equipment, general stuff. This is general bonding for everything. Is there a reason that we shouldn't vote for this one? Sounds like nothing.
So you missed your opportunity.
I missed my opportunity.
You
I'm
missed
sorry.
Your opportunity.
Yeah. I'm not attacking anybody, but I think if you're voting yes or no, if you give a reason, it might, you know.
Well, then we're asking you, why do you vote yes?
Why do you vote yes?
Because people...
Here, so.
What are we discussing?
I don't need to hear why you didn't vote yes.
What are we discussing? We're discussing this current ordinance or all ordinances in general?
This is just for the ordinance to purchase the list of items.
I do have a question.
You could bring it up on the new business. Okay. Like,
this is for all the different departments.
All right, can I get a roll call?
Can we have discussion on it?
Sure.
I just have a question for Hector. So under the administrative department building improvements, I know you're going to look at the lobby and all. Can we look at the furniture? I know we had a brief discussion. It kind of looks like a bad yard sale out there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If we could upgrade and, yeah.
There's that, so we're looking at that. I think that the next time you come in a few weeks, you'll
No, don't then. I don't care. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And looking at the list, the majority of this is for road.
Yeah, it's improving the lobby, right?
I know
the library has $70,000 on this, so we'll, you know, that's for the roofing, and this is in addition to the $600,000 or so you have, right? So,
isn't there a list of it in the?
Give us, why don't you give it for the?
No, but I was saying, wasn't there a list already for that?
Yes, my question is more.
I'm looking at it. The $70,000.
My question is more specific about my impression of the community. Another explanation about why the library is in here.
No. I understand that $70,000 is just part of the monies that are going to be spent on improving the maintenance and items needed at the library. So just for the record, right, it's like $600,000 and then another $70,000 and, or here, why don't you explain?
So we actually kind of covered the grant is what has to be improved. Somewhere between the time that we had an estimate for what those were going to be and submitted the grant application to when we got a better understanding of what the cost was, those prices increased. So that's $70,000 that we're seeking to cost the buildings, whether that increases.
Right. It doesn't include the increase now. Is that what you just said?
It includes the increase.
Understood. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Quick question. Being new, do we do this every year for these type of things?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's it's annual, like, okay, you know, we have a road project, the road list every year. We go,
every department submits their capital requests.
And this is a, gotcha.
This is bundled all together, and that's
one. All right. Now, any other further discussion or questions on this one?
So we're
roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Abstain, because I feel Tony's picking on me.
No, I'll wait for the business to pick on you.
Oh, yes.
Not that you're really going to get picked on.
Councilman Panicelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brinchevich?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. 2023-9, Ordinance Amending and Supplementing Chapter 29, Solid Waste Management, Section 29-1.2, Included Users and Charges of the Revised Ordinances of the Borough of Bamberg to Increase the Annual Charge per Dwelling Unit for the Disposal of Garbage. Do I have a motion to open public comment?
Motion.
Second.
Any public comment on this ordinance? Do I have a motion to close public comment?
Motion.
Second.
Motion to pass.
I move the ordinance to pass on second reading and advertise according to law.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
Probably a stupid question, but why are we increasing? It's going from 266 to 268. And
this represents a $20 annual rate, $5 for it.
Yeah, because I remember, right, bringing the refuse in-house, right, it was, you know, I guess presented to the public that cost would go down.
It was presented to the public that there would be savings. If the third-party hauler is going to go up by 20% and we can keep that cost increase to 10%, the cost goes up, but there's still savings. That's my understanding.
And there was, and I think the last time they gave us a $480,000 with a quote that jumped from
$360,000. I believe it is now for refuse from three. The state has allowed refuse collection fees out of the cap because.
Okay.
And it went up last year too, yeah, right?
And honestly, we can put out again in December and November an RFP for another quote.
Third party.
You know, it's just for everybody's satisfaction, but it's always, and it happens with the third party. They have you for 1 year, and then the following year, it's hey, here's 25%. Yeah, take it or leave it. And in this town, for 18 years, we had one person quote us, and when we called the second company, a very large company, they basically told us that's not really our territory. We kind of break it into our territory, so they create monopolies within themselves. By not incurring into somebody else's territory, and then they get to set a price at whatever the price is.
You're not going
to
get
just a little more color for that. That company now owns so if we were to stay with that company, it would have to come out.
Yeah, because it's my understanding that out of the 21 municipalities, there's only three boroughs that do it in-house. Refuse. Boundbrook, Manville, and Raritan.
The municipalities you listed are all they're among the smallest in the county. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense.
It's on the homeowner's contract.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've lived in a town where we had to do that. Franklin, East Millstone.
Yeah. And Bridgewater, I think what their annual is, what I'm understanding, is between $360 and $430 per household to run.
I'm sorry, what?
$360 to $430 is what I've heard from homeowners over there to haul trash per year. Which is, you know, $120 per quarter. It doesn't seem like a lot, but for everybody else, it seems like or $260, $270. We're trying our best to keep maintaining everything under control.
All right. Do I have a roll call?
Council President Gomez.
Motion.
Yes.
So we had a motion to pass the motion.
Yeah.
Councilman Petty.
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brinkovic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Passed. Moving on to 2023-10, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 7 Traffic, Section 7-17. Residential permit parking of the revised general ordinances of the Borough of Bomber to create residential permit parking along the entire length of Maiden Lane. Do I have a motion to open public comment?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any public comment on this? Hearing none, do I have a motion to close public comment?
Motion. Second.
Do I have a motion to pass?
Motion. I move the ordinance to pass the second reading and advertise according to law. Second.
Second. Discussion.
It goes, what was the time? I think from 10 till
6.
Is there any way to make that a little bit later? Because I think it really does cut into the Elks' availability of parking on that street. I know that there's typically
there's parking at the parking lot.
They have parking in the parking lot, but when they have their corn toss and they have...
What I'm saying is there's parking at the commuter lot, which is one block away. So they shouldn't be parking on the streets. If they're there, taking parking away from businesses and, you know, and how do you prevent people in the buildings or people that aren't supposed to be parking there to not park on that street?
I have a question.
You should be recusing yourself, first and foremost, since you recuse yourself from everything else.
Okay. Because I'm going to ask for all the surrounding businesses, including your business.
Also, maybe
you should recuse yourself also.
I agree, but you're the one.
Okay. So, no one lives on the street anyway.
But we have problems with parking from other areas in the area. So, this is how we address it.
I disagree with it.
Okay. There's a no vote for that.
Who are the permits?
And you got a reason. So
out of curiosity. No,
the people on, so.
The apartments?
No, not the new apartments.
No.
Yeah, they should have their own dedicated.
I knew that wasn't the case.
Who lives on the street?
So, let me, there's people on Maiden Lane, right? On Maiden Lane, above the businesses there, there are some residents, right? Some residents along Hamilton Street. There's a, on 2nd, there's a row, there's 13, 14 row houses with 7 parking spots in front. Where do they park? So, that's resident parking, right? There's people that live on High Street, on that, from 2nd and from Mountain to Hamilton, right? That don't have necessarily all drivers. The ones on the north do, the ones on the south don't. So you're creating parking spots. I mean, some of this is people complain that there's no parking for the residents. So you try to create parking for the residents.
But how many people live on Main that you looked up?
Do you want it?
From,
I don't know.
Is there anyone that lives there?
I mean, there are apartments above these buildings.
Sure. Our former councilwoman lived right there.
And the mentality has to be that we don't live in a town that you can just park right in front of exactly where you're going. I mean, that's as we move forward, that doesn't exist anymore. That's not how successful towns operate. So you mentioned New Hope. I mean, you don't operate that way in New Hope, Pennsylvania, because it's a very successful town. I'm not saying we're quite there yet, but that's the direction we're going.
Yeah. Question about the homes on East, what's that, East 2nd Street, right, with the row houses. So will they be able to get a permit sticker? Because they're really East 2nd, they're not Maiden, you know. So
I would think they're...
How does that apply?
Yeah.
Right, because if we want...
Because you have Hamilton Street has apartments all along the top. Main Street, again, they can park across the street, but there's residents right there. And I'm talking about the one block, going right around the block. Maiden Lane has apartments all above those businesses right there on the corner. And then from East Street, I mean 2nd Street, from Hamilton all the way to the library, I mean to the post office, you have residents above.
Yeah, I think I was looking to change the time just because when, you know...
And that's pretty standard across the town.
So that's, to like 11 or 12?
But then you don't give the residents the opportunity to park and go to sleep. Now they're going to...
I get it. Yeah, and I had hoped that someone maybe from the Elks could be here tonight to speak, you know, from their perspective, you know. And it's not only the Elks, but... All right. That's fine. But I guess if you work out for...
But
you
again,
know,
I do want to...
People on East Street, you know, because...
And I do want to mention, there is a full parking lot just one block away that, you know, that people can utilize.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? When I go there for a spaghetti dinner or something, I'm not walking from downtown to the Oaks. I...
go around and around and around the neighborhood trying to find a closer space.
And the neighbors would say, oh my God, you guys have people invading my neighborhood because, you know.
And that's what the businesses, right, are complaining about, right? Going and parking in New Jersey Transit lot and having to walk blocks to, you know, or spaghetti dinner or whatever.
Overall, there may be some unanticipated consequences, but I'll be never going to have permit parking for residents.
No, I agree. I do. I mean, I lived with permit parking by name.
There's not that many parking spots. So, all right. Any other discussion? Roll call.
President Gomez.
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
No.
Councilman Grant-Tally?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brichtovic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay. On to the introduction of... Yeah, which, what are the, what, I'd rather get this resolved. It has to happen, but it's administrative.
So it's going to be page 315.
3 of 15.
Yeah.
In the ordinance.
Ordinance
after
11.
After the seven pages, you'll see 1 of 15 and then go to page 3. Which one was that number?
Ordinance 11.
Okay.
So if you see the snares and then the top curve of page 4-22.3, the sentence above that, any person wishing to distinguish a personal license, that should be 7 miles, not 10 miles.
Okay.
And then.
This is the first reading?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the letter A, the annual license fee.
Yes.
That should be $200, not $750.
Oh, yeah. We changed that.
Is that it?
No, that's it.
Do I have to read the full ordinance now, out loud, for everybody? I don't have enough time. All right, so then can we make a motion that it gets that they revised?
Yeah, just do another vote on that.
Yeah.
It's first reading. It's
first reading.
Okay.
Let's have a motion for the...
revised.
Can you read the correct title?
Yeah, let me get back to it.
The correct title should be repealing eloquently in its entirety. Yes.
Repealing eloquently.
Oh. An ordinance repealing and replacing in its entirety Chapter 4, Article 2, Towers and Wreckers of the Revised General Ordinances of the Borough of Pembroke. Do we have a motion to pass with revisions?
Motion.
Second. Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Prandicelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brichtovic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. Am I on the right page now? Introduction of resolutions. The 2023-59 resolution adopting amended bylaws of the mayor and council of the borough of Bound Brook. Is this the same changes as the last meeting?
Yes.
Okay, so we did receive a couple of memos, one of which was to clarify which sort of makes sense. There is no mayoral vote, but it still requires 5 of the 6 council members to vote in favor of these changes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't misunderstand. And this is something that we take to a roll call?
Okay.
Or is there any discussion with no other additional changes? Let's do a roll call on this one.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
No.
Councilman Prandtelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchovic?
No.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Okay, so that did not receive the required five.
Perfect.
Positive. Okay, the resolutions listed below were submitted to the governing body for review and will be adopted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired, the resolution may be removed by council action. Any of these resolutions need to be separated out?
Yes, 60 and 65 for me.
Okay.
64, I have to...
Any others? All right. First one is 2023-60, resolution appointing Leslie Cruz to the alternate two position on the Recreation Commission. Could we do a roll call? Do I have a motion?
Motion.
So a second.
Second.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Prandtelli?
Recused.
Councilman Rondo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchovic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Excellent. 2023-64, resolution authorizing 2023 pool and billiard parlors licenses. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
I do actually have a question on this one.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Shouldn't the moose be subject to the same exception as the elks?
Yeah.
But they have to put in a request for that. Is that correct?
Why?
Why what?
I'm asking the same question. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to do it?
So they don't have to pay the license.
Yeah, there's an exception. There's an exception for the billiard licenses for social clubs.
Right.
So it's really for for-profit businesses. So we're going to assess the moose for a billiard license when they meet the exception.
So is that a mistake?
Is that what?
Is it a mistake?
I mean, I don't know have they always been charged the billiard fee and just didn't know that they weren't supposed to be?
I have to review the code to see if, because specifically, I think the other, what was the other entity that?
The Elks.
What was it for?
Pool table.
So then, yeah, the Elks did put in their request, the Moose did not. We will review if we received the fee, and then if we did, I guess put it on for a refund.
Okay. Okay.
And what? How much was the fee?
It's like $200 a table or something, right?
Yeah. We were kind of wondering, right?
That was the only thing. Well, it didn't listen to me because I got involved in the other. Is that I'm learning more and more. All right. Well, that's fine. So do we? We already had a motion and a second, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Recused.
Councilman Prandtelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Berchovic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. 2023-65, resolution rejecting all bids received to the Borough of Bamberg for Phase 1 of pool renovation project. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Okay. Did we have a discussion on this one?
Can we have a discussion? Yes, and when?
Discussion, yeah.
Yeah, and also when will the public be notified? Like, so what is the next step on this, right? We refused all the bids and just...
Well, they also... We also just learned that the lowest bid was pulled.
The lowest bid was pulled, right, because it was a mistake or something.
Okay, it was significantly higher than what your engineer estimated anyway.
Even the lowest bid was too high.
Okay.
But to the point, when is the public going to be notified, and what method can we use for that?
This is it. This is a public meeting. Well, we can advertise a different
way. That's what I meant, advertise. Obviously, yes.
Okay, so, you guys can advise the public to be notified. My question, what would you like to do?
That the pool's not going to open. There's not going to be a pool again.
What's the status?
No, we're not giving them dollars and bids and the machinations of the process.
So, like I said, at this point, I think we're all more comfortable saying this poll is not.
Good. All right.
Well, so, I also think the public would like to know where we are in the process. There are some rumors out there that there is no pool going in there. So if we can just like update on the website with the process, the pool is presently in the bidding process, period. I mean, simple phrase, other than that, just, you know, we're moving forward with, you know, I leave it up to you.
Let the public know that someday there's a pool.
Can we discuss that as new business? Because we're just going through yes and no on resolution.
Got it. Okay. All right, we'll do the new business.
Thanks.
All right, let's do roll call on that one then.
That's what we have.
Councilman Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Excuse.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brinchevic?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Perfect. On to 2023-68, resolution authorizing the formation of a negotiating committee, committee for redevelopment projects. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
The discussion.
Yeah, isn't generally that's the whole point of the economic development?
No, this was brought to our attention during the last meeting under the bylaws that any negotiations has to create a new committee for each one. So I created committees, and which is the same committee, and I put it on here for a vote.
Layers and layers.
Yes. But it's in our laws, so we have to figure it out. So bye bye, then, no big deal.
Yeah. Well, it specifies that the chairman of the finance committee has to be on the chairman, right? The chairman of the economic development was applied to them, which is you, and then a third person. And I don't think Councilman Gomez, who's been involved in the beginning of these discussions, these are projects that are underway. We should include him on this negotiation.
Why we put the committee together?
So that was my thought on this. Right. The future projects come in, you know, the future projects come in. I think the third spot can kind of be up for grabs there. Mm-hmm. You know,
so this is just to create the committee, not to appoint anyone to it.
This is appointing. This is
creating and appointing.
Oh, who is appointed? Who has been appointed? I'm sorry.
Basically, the economic
involvement. Got it. My bad.
So it's a blanket committee to then just be responsible for all of these.
To the stuff that's already going on. So
okay.
To finish them up.
I misunderstood.
Do you have any other questions? What's the bank? There's a what's a bank building project?
So we may be in the next couple.
I'm just wondering because these are all for existing projects. And I just didn't realize, at least that, I see there's other ones that are all in progress.
So we voted, I think, over the last 5 or 6 months about condemnation.
Yes, yes.
So whatever.
It's that process, that negotiation. Anything involved with that.
All three of us have been involved with Carlo, with Frank and Hector and the attorneys.
Okay.
And all this involved, so.
I mean, we'll abreast of everything that's going on, if the group doesn't, you know, decide a different direction for any of this stuff. We'll vote on it, as we always do, and that's it.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
This is for these projects that are... Right?
Yep.
So you're not doing future...
Not this negotiations committee. These are the projects that this negotiation committee, to the extent another project comes up that requires another one, we will form another committee for that. And it may just be the same three people again, but there'll be a committee form. Okay, but that's just to cover the projects listed in the resolution. Any other questions or comments?
Okay. I guess my only comment is that I don't know. I don't think it really follows the bylaws and what we're seeing in other towns. Like Flemington, the example you brought up, Mayor. I don't know. I would say handle as a case by case. What?
Yeah.
Following our bylaws, not Flemington. So our bylaws says that we have to create the committee. I see no problem.
We could always go to change the bylaws.
I'm not saying follow Flemington's bylaws. I'm saying follow our bylaws.
That's what we're doing.
It does follow
to the letter of the law.
But is there a reason why we need to lock this in?
Yeah, you guys asked me to at the last meeting. The mayor brought it up and said that this was a specific clause in there, so I made sure that we're abiding by it.
No,
we're
supposed to do it.
You never did it before, but we have to remember.
Listen, there's a lot of things we didn't do before because of the bylaws, right? Like calling into meetings, right? Now we can't call into bylaws because the bylaws specifically state that. So if we're following all the rules, we should probably even add a prayer here or there. But, you know, it's to the extent that we want to be by the letter. If we want to do it this way, not a big deal. This is it.
All right, let's do a roll call.
So,
No,
that's fine. I have other questions for the EDC, which we can handle under
business. Yeah, this is committee.
So just
So just for the committee, let's do a roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Mondo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brichovic?
No.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
All right, last one that was requested to be separate is 2023-71, resolution appointing Richard Colombroni to the Deputy Emergency Management Coordinator position. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
Just adding another person, especially somebody that's already in town and working in the event of an emergency and a little extended emergency. I don't think I need to repeat what you said, right?
Is he okay about us talking about him right now?
Of course. So we're not talking about anything.
I need to write some about this. Yeah, I really have to write some.
No, we don't. Right. We're appointing.
Well, this is not a
turn around
and
get
the police chief.
Yes, yes. Wait. Vinny's arguing the law with our attorney.
It's an appointment. It's very different. Mm-hmm. But if chief, do you have an objection?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
So it's Chief Colombroni and Mr. Michael.
Yes. And then Giannato, which is our coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah. And we could always appoint another one, you know, in the event that we have a natural disaster that it goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks, people have to tend to their families too, so it's always good to have that.
I know, well, that what happens if he's stuck with a natural disaster, if he's stuck handling it?
Then we have Michael, then we also have Giannato.
If they can't do it, now we don't have a police chief, or we don't have this position.
No, I don't think you understand.
He's a wonderful man. He does a lot. I appreciate everything he does. But I think we're actually stretching him out.
Well, I don't want to stretch him out at all. But stretching him thin, perhaps. But I don't think that any one of those things are occurring, being that he's the second or third deputy on this situation, and typically the emergencies occur, the coordinator takes care of it, and the whole purpose of putting people that are already being paid and employed by the borough is that when there is an emergency, they're here, right? As opposed to volunteers, which, well, you know, I need to go and I'll see you guys later and good luck with that. And we have no recourse on any of that, right?
Well, this is not a paid position.
No, it's not. But to clarify, I didn't understand it until the chief explained earlier that only coordinators or deputy coordinators have access to certain systems. And I didn't write fast enough to see exactly what that was. And in order to be a deputy coordinator, you have to have certain qualifications, of which he is one class away, as I recall him saying.
Correct.
So we have just another option to access the state, and it wouldn't necessarily be him first or second even, but if we know he'll be here, and we know he can access the system. Otherwise than that, I didn't know before tonight, so I think that would probably just make this more sense.
I do agree with Councilman Petty. I think we need to look for another deputy director who's not associated with the police department. In the event of emergency, the police will be doing the police.
Yes.
OEM will be doing their thing, and we don't want that. So,
but we need somebody with those qualifications.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he, I don't have an answer.
Yes. No. Agreed.
We already have two police officers on OEM.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was really right where this question was coming from, right? It was more of concern with the correct coverage or ample coverage and not interfering with any sort of his chief responsibilities,
chief,
police
you think
responsibilities.
Any of this will interfere with your chief or Giannato's
I think
the other two appointees are eminently qualified, and the issue becomes, again, access to the system, so we just have continuous flow throughout an emergency, especially if
And the truth of the matter is that Michael will be taking the lead on most of this stuff as the coordinator, as the deputy coordinator in town of OEM.
Okay, let's do roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Abstain.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Brinchevich?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, the resolutions, I will list them out, will be adopted by one motion. It's 2023-61, 62, 63, 66, 67, 69, and 70. Do I have a motion to pass those all?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Is that all in favor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Excellent. Either unfinished business or new business. Do we have anything?
Yes.
Unfinished?
Well, I'm going to go back to my initial question. And again, not to pick on anybody. And I'm going to refer to ordinance 2023.07. I apologize for going out of order. And Linda asked a question to me, why do I vote yes? And I'll tell you, that's a fair question. The reason why I voted yes is because we brought up issues even with the parking. You know, we have to walk a whole block. So what I'm trying to do by voting yes is create additional parking in pockets of our downtown for places like the Elks or the businesses. So I want to know what is the reason to vote no. What is your reason to vote no?
So let me just interject for a second before you answer.
Go ahead.
There's nothing wrong, I understand where you're coming from and asking as part of the discussion, what's your objection or why do you like this? That's great. By the same token, if a council person does not want to
engage
in that discussion, they have the right to say, I don't want to share my reasoning with you.
I understand that. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm just asking a question, not being
wrong.
The wise guy.
I just wanted to explain that before they answer.
I want to know why I'm wrong.
Right.
Basically, nobody's saying you're wrong.
No,
he's just not agreeing with you.
But there really is.
I mean, why are we discussing this? It's already passed. You have your point of view. He has his point of view.
Right,
I understand
I
you.
Don't
I understand you. That's it. I don't see why we have to keep going.
I'm just asking. No, I'm just asking.
I don't.
The truth of the matter is, it's a intellectual exercise in figuring out. Is there a gap? Right? Is there a gap in understanding what we're trying to do? Is there more understanding? Maybe not. And obviously, I get both points of view. Right?
We didn't have a discussion, really. We just voted. I mean, I just
had
everybody.
We had it last time.
I missed the meeting, but I thought.
No, we didn't have it last time.
Oh, we didn't. You're right. We did.
I thought it was going to be a 6-0 vote. I didn't think anybody would vote no.
So I think I'll tell you. You know what? I think we're asking, right? We're bonding for this. It's the taxpayers that are paying for it. Yes, we've had a parking problem for years, but I think a lot of this development has contributed to our parking woes, right? Our parking issues. Yes, because I see it in my neighborhood, Abel, so you could shake your head. But I don't think, we should be footing the bill for the parking. And you read in the articles and newspapers, I don't care, we could talk about Flemington, we could talk about a lot of towns where the developers contribute, right, to whether it's infrastructure, amenities, parking. I mean, the one project out in Flemington, the developers have contributed $52 million. And I think, there comes a time where, right, they've contributed $52 million to amenities, to parking, to roads, to enhancements in the town, right? I don't have the article in front of me, but maybe the mayor's pulling it up right now and he could read them off. But there, maybe not. So, but there are, right, where developers contribute, right, and help their projects, right? Because a quality project is not walking 900 feet from your property to get into your apartment, right? It's like,
parking right where you live. So I just don't think, you know, at this point in time, we should be 1.3 million, 1.1 million, whatever it is. The property was assessed originally at $614,000, then it went to $925,000, and now we're looking at $1 million bonding for parking and for ground, for surface parking, which I know you maybe project a parking deck going there later on in the future, which we'll probably be paying for that as well. So I don't know, unless there's something different.
I think part of this, and I think somebody's in the frustration here, is yes, we hear that there are problems, right? And that's fine. We'll address the problems. But the constant, it's not my problem, it's somebody else's problem, we'll let somebody else figure it out. It's us who need to figure out these problems. So, and I know you say, have them buy this and have them buy that. I've had attorneys here tell us, you can't do that. They can't buy you a truck. They can't buy you parking. They can't do that. That is, according to the state, it is equivalent to a bribe or whatever it is up in Jersey City with a fire truck that they had. And we had Frank Regan sit here and tell us exactly that, that they can contribute in a developer's fee, which they do in this town. And perhaps you weren't here long enough to know that in 2014, we started the year with $144,000 in our fund balance. And today, we started in $6 million, and we're using two of that to help offset the taxpayers' bill. Which, without that, and having done nothing else, would have been for about equivalent to about $3,000, $2,000 more per household. And these are natural increases. So I get it. I don't want to pay for it either. I promise you, I do not want to pay. I pay double your taxes. So, and my house. I promise you that. So I don't want to pay upwards of $12,000 per year in taxes. I don't. My kids don't even go to school here. So if you add that, it's even more. I promise you that I want to do that. But there's problems that need to be solved. And just pointing a finger and saying it's not my fault, somebody else should do it. We'll find solutions. Honestly, some of us are committed to finding solutions. Not all of them are popular. I'm willing to listen to any other solution. Just one.
I don't think
this is effective, guys. I think you're arguing about philosophy, and
I am. That's exactly.
Not you. At this whole discussion, I think, is not productive.
Okay.
I appreciate the answer, and I realize that this is going to just go back and forth.
Yeah.
We'll end it
there.
And I never said don't do anything.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you did ask the question, why vote for or against?
Yeah.
We definitely need more parking. It just this seems the cost to be excessive. We sold parking lot 5. Did we get $1 million for it? Did we get $800,000 for it? How much did we get? I don't even know what we got for it.
What did we get for it?
I think municipal lot 5 was borough-owned property, and now it's privately owned. Correct?
Yeah, I think we got $800,000.
Did we?
Yeah.
I just made up a note.
But I think
the other one was
$1 million. Parking on these things too.
And the other one was $1 million.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, okay, so we had parking, we sold it, but now we have to buy property because we don't have any parking again. Right. I mean, I think it's the concept of the dollar. Yeah. Any other?
Unfinished
business.
New business.
New business.
Totally out of parking. thank you. So I have been. I attended a YMCA meeting and celebration a few weeks ago, thinking of kids are not going to have a pool this summer. YMCA offers every 7th grade a free membership to use their swimming pools. I know we don't have a YMCA here, but it could be something that we could work on, providing these kids access to some programs, maybe a shuttle bus or something, at least advertising that they are entitled to have a free membership there. We're talking also about maybe bringing Boy Scouts here, no Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts also. So these are things that we could
advertise and have the kids where is in charge or responsible. We don't have a Boy Scout squad. Boys, not girls. Boys. Do we have one here?
Girl Scouts?
Boys. Boys.
Oh, Boy Scouts. Yeah, I think
no, we
a
don't.
Boy Scout.
No, we don't. I found out. No, we don't. We have Girl Scouts.
He's saying he's looking to bring Boy Scouts.
Oh, exactly. Girl Scouts. That's what I'm saying. So to keep them busy, I mean, there's not a swimming pool, but we can offer them opportunities to, you know, and again, the YMCA, they can use the pools. They can go to Bridgewater. It's not that far, or Somerville, whatever. So we can, again, at least say, hey, listen, you have the pool, but we are offering these opportunities.
Maybe we can coordinate that communication to the recreation.
Yeah, if you can email me that information, I'll
Yeah, yeah, I'm in touch with the person of YMCA.
Also, Middlesex has a pool, and they take out-of-towners.
Yeah, but they have to pay. The YMCA is a non, it's free.
It's free.
It's free. It's free. So, Middlesex is very expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we can look into that. Just throwing the idea there.
No, that's good. That's good.
Okay.
Any other new business?
First, as mentioned before, on March 29th at 3 p.m. is going to be the grand opening of the Post Hall Court on Key Street. We'll be sure to put that on our social media on our website. And the other thing was that we wanted to have a brief discussion on the notification that the pool will not be closed this year. We're kind of talking about that. Administratively, we will go ahead and start to put information out there that's not going to go in, along with other avenues that might be available for summer recreation.
I also like to, I think Councilman Longo's suggestion that a very brief and simple explanation, because of the process, just to let them know this isn't something we're neglecting. I'd like to get ahead of that instead of everybody coming up and saying, you know, all sorts of rumors and why isn't it happening and nobody cares. And, you know, if we can get ahead of it with just to present and convey, we're trying, but this is, and I don't know what that summary would look like. Meaning, like how simplified? Then, like I said, we don't need to know dollar amounts. We don't, just so that they know we tried. And
we
we're
don't
trying.
Want to leave the impression that this is never going to get.
Yeah. So what's been difficult is because this is taking so many turns and twists and turns. It's kind of difficult to just put out one succinct message. I mean, you know, for example, in early February. We stopped the bid to rebid, and you know, what was the communication of the bid? Because there were so many colorful dollars in the bid, you know, this is why we're having it. Just kind of seemed like I think we're now at the point where we could put a better communication out, but that's kind of been where we haven't been to that point. Where
we weren't that close to the opening either. As we get closer, time wise. I think it's imperative to so people can plan for alternatives.
The truth of the matter is even if we did get an acceptable bid, there was no guarantee this pool was going to be open.
No, but at that point, that's when we would have also communicated, this is our plan, this is our projected timeline.
Right.
You know, but something should go out, and I think now is the time.
Yeah.
And again, I'd like it to be as positive as possible.
Right.
Okay.
What price are we trying to get to?
It's basically we have to get.
Okay. I thought there was.
But that was already brought up.
Okay. Fine.
And somewhere along the way, we may need to rediscuss what we're going to do with the pool. If there's going to be a redesign, if this is going to be the cost to it.
Any other anything else new? I have a question. Did I bring up that I went to some dinner at the church? I think I did that a while ago. Not important. All right. No, it was awesome. It was awesome. They're doing great stuff over at the Presbyterian Church with the food bank. I thought I brought it up, but
That's a wonderful church.
They were
good neighbors.
And they're looking to do a community kitchen in the town. Did I bring that up? They're looking to do a community kitchen.
Yes, yes. There was an invite, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I went. And I went to the presentation. I don't think I brought it up in the past. I don't remember. I know I talked to a lot of people about it, and it just occurred to me I may not have brought it in front of the people that can do something about it.
Yeah, it's a great church.
But the guy who runs the program is looking to do a community kitchen, and they've been located. Realtors have helped them find some space in neighboring towns, but really kind of far away, Branchburg and things. He's really would prefer to be where their base is, the need is, and he wants to be in town. But he needs a commercial kitchen, and I believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 to 6,000 square feet. His goal for this restaurant, it's going to be a restaurant, and it's pay what you can afford. There's no price tags. If anybody's familiar with the Soul Kitchen down in the Red Bank, it's run by John Bon Jovi's foundation. They have something very similar. His plan is to have some initial capital to start up, but then it'll be an ongoing, fully funded, self-sustaining.
You know where a good place would that would be for? The church on the corner of 2nd and Mountain. That's up for sale.
St. Joseph's.
Do they have a commercial kitchen?
No, they would have to. No, but there's no place in town.
Well, he was in an ideal world, it would be something that wouldn't require 100% build out, but he's willing to do that.
Zero places.
Right, that's what I figured, yeah.
We looked within the last 2 years, 3 years, there's nothing even remotely close to that.
Okay.
I don't even know that you can find a retail space or a kitchen space with that big of a...
I forget, and you know what? Don't quote me on the exact square footage.
Yeah, yeah.
I just know. He said something was 14,000 square feet, the other was 1,700. But if we get the details, and we can look for
it. But there is kitchen space in that building.
All right, so that's it for new business then. Approval of vouchers, 2023-72. Resolution approving vouchers in the amount of $994,676.41. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second? Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Vouchers.
Wonderful.
Yes or no?
Yes. Councilman Transitelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Merchovitz?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. I'd like to open now to the public for comment. None. Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Please.
I'm sorry. Isn't that passing? Is that not signing?